Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Tim Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad. And
oh,
I tried
God.
To handle it gently. The first thing in his bio was he was born in 1952. And if my grandpappy's on Twitter roasting somebody, I hope they handle him gently. And I tried to.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
These are the kind of decisions we just can't make as an NFL quarterback.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
I want you guys to watch Caleb Williams. He's going to go ahead and he's going to step up here. He's going to scramble out of the pocket, and we are just going to turn and chuck this thing all the way across the field. We just can't do that. They get bailed out by a defensive holding, but those are the kind of decisions we just can't make.
On 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
How about it? Tim Jenkins is on Twitter at TJenkinsElite, founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. He is with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. I hope you're already following him and checking out the video breakdowns that he does that are just football porn and understanding what through his eyes what is happening in a game and what quarterbacks are seeing. You can see him now, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
I'm good. How's Caleb Williams doing in your eyes?
It's nothing you guys don't know. It's such a hard question right now because of the protection issues, right? Like the audio of the clip that you guys played on the intro. It's like a perfect example of being a rookie quarterback where he's going to climb the pocket and, hey, he basically turns and burns to a one-on-one, which, like, on the surface isn't a terrible decision, right? A one-on-one matchup. It's just when you kind of, like, no-look it, and then it ends up in an interception. Now they get bailed out by the D-holding. So those are, like, plays where on the surface you go, oh, horrible, right? When you take it in the context of the game where it's, like, we have simple twists. When we're talking about twists, like, think – you know, the defensive tackle and the defensive end, the end goes first. He tries to take two of our guys and the tackle wraps around. Like when simple twists are getting home, it's then hard to really come down critically on his decision-making. Cause it's like, dude, you've been on the move the whole game. You're getting absolutely killed back there. And oh, by the way, like you're fearing for your safety, but I need you to be smarter with the football. It's always just like a dynamic conversation that you have to have with these quarterbacks. And right now, if Chicago can't protect, it's really hard to truly say, hey, man, I think he's struggling with all this decision-making, because if you're sitting back there and you're just getting teed off on, like, no one on planet Earth makes good decisions, no matter who you are.
How do you take that and pair it with the fact that this is a rookie quarterback who now has exactly two games of NFL experience and expect him to begin to grow? I mean, what can you take away from a performance like that when you literally are running for your life?
Yeah, there's not a lot you can take away from it other than he's way more athletic than me. There's a couple of plays that I saw him get out of the pocket, and I'm like, man, I'd have tripped over the DN. I did that a bunch in college. So to me, I'm like, you know, I think his movement, we've got to be satisfied with. I do think there were enough concepts that we saw, man, when he plays on rhythm, how good he can be and how good this offense can be. I think we sometimes underrate just how good of a scripted series they had to come out, right? I think they moved the ball pretty effectively. If you think about that third and long, it's like, you know, they have that scheme where, hey, they run the ultra high, that super high corner from the slot receiver. Then we've got the speed out. We hit that on the sideline. We had DJ Moore working the slot on a little slant route that he hits. Like, their scripted series was great. And then there was a series in the middle of the game that I really want to talk about. It was drive number 5. It was a 3 and out, which on the surface, everyone would be like, well, that's horrible. with the exception of it was like formationally, they got so creative and it was really nice to see. It was the one where, you know, they open up and they line up basically three guys in the backfield. He's in gun. He has three guys also in the backfield with him. And it's like, he gets the commit, they get 5 yards, and then they start in quads, you know, four receivers to a side, which is a very untraditional set, motion the back in. Because of that, there's a little defensive communication breakdown. They pop that corner route. That's the one that he misses, that to me was probably the only really bad throw of the day he had from the true, like, hey, we've got a guy open, we have to hit this. We then didn't see any other like super exciting formation thing. So to me, it was like drive number five is kind of where it's, you know, if you could talk about if it was my offense to run.
I was just going to ask that.
Like, how would you figure it out?
Yeah, if it was my offense to run, it's like we're going in the meeting room. The first thing we're addressing is protections, right? And it's not even true. You're gonna get beat one-on-one in the NFL, right? If every offensive lineman never got beat in the NFL, we would pay defensive linemen $500,000. Instead, we're paying them millions of dollars as well, right? So it's like we're gonna get beat every once in a while on a one-on-one. Where we can't get beat is like a simple, you know, hey, we need to bump. We need to communicate better on these twists. And then the protection issues where it's like we had guys running free and, hey, is he supposed to be a hot? Caleb, are you supposed to manipulate the mic? Those are the number one thing. Boom, we have to address it. The second thing I'm doing, though, is we're getting super creative formationally because what Chicago is doing, like every team that has a rookie quarterback, they're reloading a bunch of concepts, meaning they have their third and long, they only have four instead of the traditional nine, right? That mm-hmm. you carry into a game, they have four and they're dressing it up formationally. But to me, it's like going from 2x2 with a simple motion to 3x1, that's not enough, right? It's not enough of a dress up to fool an NFL defense. We need to get real exotic with our formation. So to me, it's like formation creativity would be my second priority. Hey, let's get super creative with these formations. We'll keep the concepts the same so our receivers know what to do. That's a new unit, right? Our quarterback knows what to do, but we're going to dress it up. We're going to, hey, here are the 12 formations you're going to learn, which is way easier to learn than a new play concept. And then we're just going to dress it up formationally. And I think there's a lot that you can gain from that. And then I also think we need just growth from I don't want to say creativity in the pass and run game, but we need growth in the kill game. Cause we saw Caleb out there. He was killing, alerting. We need more growth in, hey, get us in and out of the right run play based on the look, right? They give us two high, let's run it. They give us single high, let's throw it. That's where I'd like to see more growth and then put more on him because it looked like Caleb could handle it from what I saw on tape and then what the Sunday night broadcast kind of was showing, you know, audio-wise.
Well, that's going to mean a lot of running then, Tim, because which is fine for this week against the Colts, but really the trend around the league right now everywhere is at least showing too deep. You may end up in quarters, you may end up in two-man, or it might be exactly the Tampa 2 that they're showing. But putting a lid on the defense now with some of the quality of these athletes is suppressing all the passing numbers. But the Bears haven't run it well. What part of not having a running game hurts him? Is it not being able to use play action off of it, or is it down in distance facing 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 9 instead of 3rd and 2?
That's such a great question. This is such a great point, right? We're seeing too high at a huge rate, which is impacting all these passing numbers, like you're saying. I think what hurts him the most is the fact that we don't force any single high, right? To me, the way you beat this too high coverage is you kind of like put your pride aside and you turn on some San Fran and you turn on some Miami Dolphins, and it's like the Dolphins in prime time, like completely dump the bed so nobody wants to watch them. But go back to their week 1 and see what they did motion wise, because to me it's like two shell from an integrity standpoint is actually somewhat tough to run on too if you're stagnant or if we're in a traditional set. If we're gonna, hey, line up in, let's say we're gonna get into 21 personnel, but then we're gonna show you 2x2, right? So meaning, hey, we got two backs, one tight end, so we're a little heavier, you're gonna have to go base, but instead of lining up in a traditional 21 formation, hey, guess what? Let's go ahead and bump Cole Kmet outside, he's now a stand-up guy, and let's go ahead and put our like hybrid, you know, F, who's like a hybrid fullback tight end, we'll put him in the wing formation. And then guess what? Okay, we're going to shift and we're going to get into flank. So we're going to bump Kmet in. We're going to get our F over there. And then we're going to run a 4-man surface run at you. And everything that you do when you do something like that is you go, okay, it's not about our standpoint. Our standpoint is shift. We're going to get to a 4-man surface. We're going to run it at you. What's hard from a defensive standpoint is think about if we get into 21, we force you into base. So now I'm a big old Sam linebacker. But, and I'm thinking, all right, man, I'm going to go pound run. Oh, guess what? Cole Kmet's standing up. So now I'm thinking, what's my pass assignment? I walk out there and then boom, they shift to now we're in a four-man surface. So now I'm yelling, hey, hey, bump, bump. I got to go walk up on the line of scrimmage. And before I know it, I'm getting whammed, right? And then we're running it at. Those are the kind of things that to me, you see San Fran do it. You see some of these heavy shift teams. You see Minnesota do it. It's a creative way to get to attack with the run game, these two high defenses. And then guess what? All of a sudden, to me, it's like amazing to me. Every time I turn on Miami, I turn on San Fran, I turn on Minnesota, these teams with explosive playmakers, right? Someone you think traditionally you'd never want to be in single high coverage against. They're getting single high coverage because you only have so many checks as a defense at your disposal to account for, you know, the ways that they change strength on the line of scrimmage, the ways they motion. So to me, that's how we get creative. We got to, I think, get heavier in our personnel, but use that heavy personnel in a spread set to begin with. Every once in a while, quick snack them, we'll throw a quick game and then spread them out. And then boom, we're going to shift. We're going to get into a heavy set. We're going to run right at you. And we're going to make your linebackers talk to each other and go from, hey, I'm standing up in coverage to, hey, I'm the point guy on the line of scrimmage. That to me is how you attack the two high if they're going to give it to you, and then in hopes that eventually they give us single high coverage.
But that takes patience.
That
takes a lot of patience, and offensive coordinators aren't patient.
I was just going to ask, from a variance perspective, how long is the install on when you talk about creativity in the formations to get that all, everyone on the same page? Can that be done in a week? Can that be done in 3 days? Like, how much time does that take, Tim?
Yeah, I think transparently the formations is a heck of a lot quicker than the concepts, right? Because when you're teaching concepts, you're teaching not only like, hey, man, when we run Flutie, our number one receiver has the post, number two has the sail, but it's like, oh, and then by the way, if we're into the boundary, we want you to inside easiest release on your sail route, unless we see this coverage, then we want you to outside release. And then, oh, by the way, if they bring Q Deuce off your face, you're hot. Like, to me, that's so much harder than rather than saying, hey, you know, we already know the Flutie concepts or whatever they call it, right, that they installed during training camp. But guess what? We're going to start in double right and we're going to F right into trips right, right? Like those to me, hey, we already have these formations in. We're just getting to them in a different way. Heck of a lot easier. You know, I would cite the 2024 Wildcats, Mack Jenkins' second grade flag team as the example of that because we only run two concepts, but hell, boys, we dress them up in 30 different formations. These poor second graders on defense, they're not running with any of our guys.
When you say Flutie concept, is that the Chip Kelly stuff?
Flutie, we had it when I was in St. Louis. It's post-sale. That's a great question because I asked that. Okay, I'm a dumb rookie. I signed as an undrafted free agent. We've got the number one overall pick, Sam Bradford, in the room, so they're not slowing down for me at all. So I'm studying, and everybody knows I had to drop out of Fort Lewis College, which you just need a heartbeat to get into because I'm not that smart. So I ask, I say, hey, why do we call it Flutie? And Schottenheimer's answer was Doug liked it, meaning Doug Flutie. So I don't have a good answer. All right, to why.
Okay.
The answer is football. Doug Flutie liked it, and that's what it is.
The answer is football. Also, what is when you say surface run, when you say four-man, what's the definition of surface in that regard?
So, like, think of it as when we just have our center guards, tackles, each side is a two-man surface. Then, hey, you bring an attached tight end. Now we've got a three-man surface.
Okay.
And then when I say flank, what I mean is we would have that tight end, our Y, and then our F is outside of him in a wing, which creates that four-man surface. It's a four-man side. To me, it's like a lot of the zone running game or any of the running game we're seeing in the National Football League, a lot of it's based on one tight end. Hey, we're going to have a, you know, outside zone to the three-man surface side, kill the inside zone on the two-man, and they base that on the front. If it's an over front, they kill it to the backside run. If it's an under front, meaning the three tech is weak, they keep it on the strong side run. So that's just when we say three-man, four-man surface.
Got it.
Guys to that.
It's just the numbers. So that way, if I'm following, if they're in too deep, they can't, if you keep running that way off of that basis, at some point, the math itself dictates that they have to bring a safety into the box just because otherwise you're going to have
it's too heavy.
Everybody's blocked, and you've got an extra guy.
Bingo. And the only other way to problem solve it from a defensive standpoint is just really super bump your linebackers, meaning, hey, your Sam linebacker walks up to the four man. Your Mike almost gets all the way over. Let's say it's the right side is our four side. Your Mike gets all the way over to almost the right tackle. Your Will then kind of is playing right over the center. And then guess what? You got DJ Moore backside for a slant, right? Like that's, you know, when you see those runs where it's like the quarterback kind of shows his shoulders and then he gets backside and throws it. It's like a run adjust off a four man is huge, because if you get that bump where they still want to play too high behind it, you can gash him in quick game. Usually what you see, though, is you see that strong safety walk up just because he has to. Free safety kicks to the middle. You kind of force him into some more single high coverages. With that being said, I'd be foolish to not mention, hey, it's harder to you're limited from a pass concept standpoint, again, because you're heavier personnel wise. And, you know, traditionally we would want some of our receivers running those deep over type things. However, you can dress it up. You know, imagine if you have the single back, the two guys in the wing, your Z's all the way outside, you know, that being Keenan Allen or that being Rome, right? Mm-hmm. And we go ahead and we motion him down, and then now we can run him on the deep over opposite with DJ Moore on the takeoff. There's some exotic things you can do out of it. And I think it's an easy add for him. And honestly, I think personnel-wise, you know, they like the 14 kid at tight end, I think, more than they like Komet from a play standpoint. Let's get them both in the ball game, right? We got two guys that they obviously feel good about. Get them both in there, and then let's go ahead and see if we can gash them in the run game and then also hit them with the play action.
And this is the week to do it. Tim Jenkins. Oh, need a cigarette after that. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, fellas.
And I don't even smoke.
But the way he just rolls the explanation and explains it, it makes sense, one. But two, it gives hope. It gives hope that things can be solved. They have problems, but the problems are solvable. Perhaps.
Maybe the Bears don't see it the way he sees it. It's possible that they're just going to keep pounding away and work on their fundamentals and say this system works.
Pounding their head against the wall? Is that what you're saying?
Could
say pound away?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't like that as much.
It's happened a lot here with Bears offenses. Caleb Williams has met the media. He had a lot to say. You'll hear it next on The Score.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes.
I hate being a fan of this team.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bernstein to Holmes, Marshall Harris filling in, along with Dan Bernstein, having a good time, but, you know, Good times don't last too long because eventually somebody from Hallis Hall has to step to the mic.
Hey, it's okay. Things aren't so. They're 1-1.
That's the point. I said they would be 1-1 last week, but all of a sudden the 1-1 apparently isn't to the liking of all these people who are consuming Bears football.
Well, here's what Caleb Williams had to say on the podium at the lectern.
How are you feeling physically? I know you said the other day you were a little bruised up from the sacks. How is your body today?
Yeah, I'm a little bruised up still, but body-wise, movement, all of that, feel good. Throwing and running around, we just had a walkthrough and stuff like that. So, kind of get a test of, you know, the treatment and all of that that I've gotten over the past couple of days. Feel good.
Caleb, where did you feel like you made positive steps or improvements in Sunday from week one to week two?
Yeah, I think first and foremost is the communication in and out of the huddle. We were actually pretty good with that, especially going to a stadium like that. Obviously, their fans were excited. Their first home game, I believe, and they were out there rowdy and things like that. And communication wise in the huddle and all of that, I believe we did a good job. I would say the pass game, rhythm and things like that felt good. Obviously, I had the two, stupid mistakes that, won't happen again. But, I think rhythm, pass game, getting the ball to receivers, I think I got better with getting the ball out of my hands, it felt like. Trying to stay in the right range of timing for the offensive lineman myself. And the routes and things like that. So I think those are the few spots that I've gotten better at.
As this offense continues to evolve and you've been in it for a while, what do you sense that you guys should be able to do really well soon?
Yeah, I think really, really well. I think one of the things we'll be able to do really well soon is I think we'll be able to run the ball. I'm trying to figure out exactly what runs fit best with, our personnel, the people we have. I think that's the thing that's going to emerge here really soon, and having confidence and keeping steadfast with that, with running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, everybody, having confidence that, we're going to break through and figure out exactly what our personality is of the run. I think that's probably the one that, I think is going to come faster than others.
Caleb, how much of an adjustment is the pressure in the pocket for you compared to what you dealt with in college and even what you dealt with in training camp where there's some restrictions on how real that pressure can actually be in practice?
Yeah, the difference, I think the guys are just, either a little bit older and things like that, and not meaning that as in like they're, they're old and slow and things like that. They're older. They've been practicing these pass rush moves, all these different things for years now, over and over. They got guys, like we just played, and they got good guys on the edge that are, really good. And then they got the vet guy, and then they got the young guy, and they collaborate. They do well when they're in the field together and things like that. So I think just getting used to getting hit again. It's been a while. It's been since November 18th. Since the last time I got hit. So just getting used to that, like really hit. Getting used to that, getting used to, having, some games like that. It's the NFL. There's going to be games like that throughout the years. And so making sure, I take care of what I need to take care of throughout the years, the weeks and things like that to make sure that we can keep going and I'm able to go out there and prepare and play well.
To that end, are there things that you've learned through two games that you might have been successful with in college that you can't get away with in the NFL?
Play your game. Play within the way that we need to play, the way that I need to play for the offense. Be efficient and make less mistakes each week. Don't make the same mistake over and over.
Eddie Eberflus was talking about communication problems along the offensive line that may have contributed. What specifically does that mean? Are you involved in that? Like, can you explain?
Yes, I'm always involved in communication issues because it starts with me in the center first. And then throughout the game a few times, the clock got kind of low. And I was on a different cadence, not on a different cadence than the offensive line, but I was on a cadence that I didn't want or shouldn't have used, you know, when the clock being that low. And obviously, you know, you get the call in the huddle, you're in the huddle for however long, and then you get up there and you're like, you already called your cadence. And so trying to change the cadence at the line, instead of using, you know, some of our tools that we have, I think that comes with, you know, time. I think that comes with obviously more communication, you know, for myself, and using the tools that I have to be able to get the ball off, even if I'm on a, you know, a cadence that may, you know, be a little bit longer.
Caleb, I was looking at stats from your Heisman season, and you guys ran the ball really well at USC. What is the benefit that you learned then of having a robust run game and how it makes your life easier?
Yeah, I think everybody knows that, you know, you've been able to run the ball well as a team and do it effectively. Doesn't mean you have to run it 30 times. You can run it 15 and, you know, amount to the same thing and be just as effective. So, you know, I think, like I said, everybody knows that having an effective run game just helps everything, and having an effective pass game helps the run game. So I think it's us playing together, you know, the way that we should. When it's a pass, you know, we're all detailed, dialed in. You know, routes are breaking off at how many ever steps, how many ever yards. We're holding up. I'm getting through my reads and things like that, not holding on reads, you know, making adjustments with lines and things like that. And then, you know, in the pass game for offensive line, you know, head across, hands or wherever hand placement needs to be, the track and, you know, the track between me and the back, you know, my play fake and things like that, to make sure I'm trying to at least pull one or two people to open things up, you know. Backside wins championships, front side wins games and things like that. So I think it's us just, you know, Coach Flew's talked about it. It's about the fundamentals and handling it the way we should.
Caleb, after you watched the tape, given how much we saw you get pressured this past week, what did you learn and how can you really better attack that pressure moving forward? Because Indy this week, obviously, they pressure a ton too.
Yep. I think one, communication. Two is making just faster adjustments throughout the game, having better communication between myself, coaches, and offensive line and things like that, making sure we're on the same page and making the adjustments we need to, you know, in game. Obviously, you have adjustments and things like that that you practice throughout the week, but, you know, the other team's job is to try and confuse you, throw different things at you, different looks, and so being able to, you know, adjust quickly in game, I think, is the most important thing, and starts with communication.
In the fourth quarter, what's the tape about the Colts defense?
Yeah, I know they just Foster, I believe his name is. He just was placed on IR, but I mean, they're D line. They're pretty good. Their backers are aggressive. You know, they've been awesome. You know, and they're back seven. They play well together so far. I know the. Obviously, you know, this past two games, they've had about 200 yards on them rushing. And so I know they're going to, you know, try and, you know, make that a key for them to make sure you stop the run. Because just like anybody, you stop the run, you kind of, you know, make the team one dimensional. So, you know, we'll see what their plan is when we get out there. But I think it's a great opponent and, you know, we're excited for it.
In the fourth quarter Sunday, you had a downfield shot to DJ where you tried to go back shoulder.
Yep.
When you guys went back and discussed that sequence, what's the back and forth there about getting that ironed out?
Yeah, it's just, you know, we're trying to get on the same page. That's what it comes down to, because we want to complete those. Those are, you know, obviously it's not a layup, but it's one of those. The corner's playing over top. You know, DJ ran a slant, took it upfield on a slant and go, and, you know, the DB kind of bit for a quick second and then tried to retrace and got over top, and I wanted to just get the ball in DJ's hand, get him the ball, obviously. You know, he does spectacular things with the ball in his hand, so tried to give him the ball, and we just, I mean, if I threw it a little bit, you know, a little less wide and gave him a little bit more time, he would have made the play. And so we'll be hitting on those here soon, and we're going to be, you know, making those plays.
Caleb, you mentioned games like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
But what's it been like to live it
and the reality of the challenge that comes with playing the position and going through it an entire season?
Yeah, it's great. It's truly awesome. I mean, you sign up for this position, you sign up for games like that. That was a playoff, you know, team last year, and to be down six with a chance to go win with the ball in your hands, it's all you can ask for. Obviously, defense played great, special teams did well, and offense. We got a touchdown in there. We're going to need more, obviously, but it felt great to be in the game, be in that, you know, that type of game, that type of environment. I'm excited for more. I know the team's excited for more. Getting back here, getting back with the guys, couldn't be more excited.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thank you. The Bears.
That's Caleb Williams. He is taking all of this in stride, and I don't think we should be surprised knowing that young man's makeup. Callers 6 and 7 to the Scores contest line, 312-540-0670, will win a pair of tickets to Mully and Hawes' September 25th broadcast from 5:30 to 10 a.m. at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Mully and Haw are going to be joined by Bulls head coach Billy Donovan and his boss, Arturis Karnišovas, in studio during the 8 a.m. hour that morning. All brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. Real quick, what did you find of note that you heard from Caleb?
I thought it was interesting when he talked about the run game. He was like, you don't have to run it 30 times. You can just run it good 15 times. Yeah, Caleb Williams wants the ball in his hands. He wants to be back there making things happen. I liked, and I'm not surprised by how composed he sound in terms of understanding where they are and what they need to do.
And what I liked is he didn't kind of take the bait, and I'm not saying the question was posed wrongly, but the question was something like, what are you learning about what you could do and get away with in college that you can't in the pros? His response was, that's really not an issue. You just got to let it rip.
I'm going to play my game. That's what I heard.
Play my game?
Yeah.
Well, I like that because he didn't acknowledge that that was even true.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He understands where he is. He understands that they have not run the football and that they need an identity, and talked about the personnel around him, like making sure we have the right groupings. But he said that's going to be the next thing to go is the run game.
Thanks to Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, Cody Westerland as well. Marshall, thanks to you once again for being in today. We thank Tim Jenkins and Mike Florio for joining us. Man, do we have a show tomorrow. Write this down. Our show tomorrow, Jason Stacked. Leisure at 11, Charch 11:25, Matt Bowen at noon, Jarrett Payton makes his first appearance with us at 12:25, and then at 1:25, ahead of Riot Fest, Blothar the Berserker, lead singer of GWAR.
Wish I could say I was familiar, but I'll find out before
Blothar
tomorrow.
The Berserker will be on the show tomorrow. Cubs baseball is coming up.
We got to go, guys. It is Cubs baseball. People are excited. We're here. We're all Cubs fans. We know what we're rooting for. Wrap it up. How do you end this?
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Good to see you.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.